Good morning.
Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. A couple of announcements. Don't forget to pick up your packets in your mailboxes. We're going to have the election of a call for a pastor on the 23rd of this month. This is your two-week notice for a congregational meeting. And if anyone is not here and you see their packet in there, please give them a call and tell them to be here, because if you're not here, you can't vote. And if you don't vote, then you don't have any say on who comes here. Also, welcome back to the choir on your new season. Good to see you. Also, men's ministry and LWML will have a combined breakfast this Saturday at 8:30. We will meet together, have breakfast, and they will go have their meeting, and we'll go have our meeting. Everybody's a member of this church is also a member of those two organizations. We don't ask for blood. We don't ask for money. Just come and have breakfast and do a few things that we need to get done either around here or help someone in the congregation that needs help. Thank you. Opening hymn 524.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. This day we meditate on the words of the gospel spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. Be opened. In the name of Jesus, amen. Ephatha, that is, be opened. The first word that this deaf man ever hears is a word from the Word of Life. This word not only causes him to hear, but in hearing, he also speaks plainly. In love, our God created the world and all that is within it. He creates by speaking, and all that is created comes into being. And God said, and there was. God then forms man from the dust of the ground in the very image of himself, and breathes into man life, and man becomes a living being. To mankind, he entrusts all of creation, and he pronounces his work to be very good. God puts man in the midst of the creation, in a special place called Eden. He speaks to Adam of how he is to live and how he is to care for his creation. But into this perfection, brought about through the Word of God, another word comes begging for an ear in which to speak. That word speaks soothingly and softly, making the lie appear to be desired to make one wise. The voice speaks a word that demands a hearing, a word that promises advancement. But it is a false word. It is a word that does not deliver what it promises, but it is a word that brings death where there was life, wrath in the place of love, and separation between God and our first parents. What follows is separation between God and man, man and woman, and mankind and the rest of creation. The beauty and goodness of God's work now appears lost because man listened to a word other than God's word. This false word turned God's created world, as it were, upside down. Where there was goodness, sin now reigns. Mankind, who spoke to God face to face, now is deaf to the very word of God. It seems that the word of God has been usurped by a false word. And all mankind and all creation is caught in the terror of this false word, imprisoned by it and held captive to it. That which was created in the image of God sheds that image as a burden and sells itself into slavery in a now corrupted creation. But even before time on earth was counted, God knew you, and God knew his creation. And God was determined to speak in your ear his word of hope and peace and forgiveness in the midst of darkness, anxiety, and despair. God speaks his word through those he appoints to speak that word, to all those enslaved to sin, separated from God, and facing death. He speaks in the Old Testament today through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come, he will save you." Led to speak God's word, Isaiah speaks it faithfully. And he says to us, "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute man will sing for joy." These are signs that God's word has come in the flesh, as St. John says in the Gospel. "These are signs and words written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing, have eternal life in his name." In the garden before the fall, God spoke his word to Adam, so that Adam might live in the image and will of God. In this conversation, Adam was taught what to do, what not to do, and how to live in perfect harmony with God and his creation. In the letter of James, you also hear the voice of God telling you how he desires that you should live. In verse 10, God speaks that word, saying to you, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it." God still demands perfect obedience from sinners and from you, even as he demanded of our first parents. But another voice speaks to us today, saying that if you try hard enough, that will be good enough. That voice tells you, because you are called to serve Christ and his church, that will excuse your sin. That voice teaches that you keep most of God's law better than many, especially in this community, so that ought to be sufficient. That voice wants you to believe that once you have faith, you no longer need to be connected to God or listen to his voice. Or that voice will accuse you of saying that you must not have faith in Christ because you do not have truly good works. That voice whispers in your ear, "You have faith and I have works. I will obtain heaven my way. You do it yours." Why do the prophets reveal through their inspired word that the promised one of God will make the blind see and the deaf hear and so on? Because through these signs you may observe that the Messiah is present, and that the Messiah is Jesus the Christ. You may know that he has come to overturn the rule of Satan in God's created world, and that by his life, death and resurrection, Jesus Christ is restoring fallen creation through the forgiveness of sin. Living in the community of the baptized, the voice of the diabolical one would speak to you, saying that you are special. You are on your way to being like God, and therefore you do not need to hear his words spoken to and for you. Satan's words again attempt to make you both spiritually deaf and dumb to God's precious life-giving word. These two, spiritual deafness and spiritual dumbness, combine in an awful, ungodly duet of silence. The one who does not listen to the invocation of baptismal grace is certainly not able to sing the Amen. The person who has no confession of sins hears no forgiving absolution from the voice of his pastor that comes from the Lord. The one who closes his ears to the word does not join the congregation in boldly confessing the creed of the church. The child who rejects listening as the word is read does not sing Alleluia in anticipation of the gospel. The woman whose ears are closed to the preaching of the word can only offer a selfish prayer. There is no benediction for the man who has never heard the Agnus Dei, who has not heard of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Such a man, such a woman, such a child needs to have their ears opened to the word of God's promise, to have ears opened so that tongues may be loosed, so that we may speak of him and to him. This is only something that God can do. Into your self-imposed and sin-imposed silent world comes Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. A man, woman, or child is brought to him. To this one who is deaf and has a speech impediment, Jesus speaks Ephatha, that is, be opened. So with you. First, he opens your ears through his word of law that demands your attention. The word that tells you that you are a sinner. The word that will not allow you and your plan of salvation, but will instead allow your ears made deaf by sin and the word of the diabolical one to hear of the rescue that the incarnate word has brought into his sin-filled creation. Jesus goes about restoring fallen creation, one sinner at a time. He came to restore you. The reason why God has opened your ears is so that you may hear the gospel. That is, the good news that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, is your Lord. Who, though he was crucified, died, and buried, did not remain in the tomb, but rose again, demonstrating the defeat of death for you, the defeat of the devil for you, and conquering of the grave for you. He also proclaimed victory over Satan and hell and ascended into heaven. Today he has loosed your tongue, that you might speak of his wonderful deeds to the world, as you have in the hymn just sung. Because he lives, so also shall his people live with him in eternity. Because he lives in you, your tongue has been loosened so that you may speak of him to your unbelieving neighbor or relative or spouse. He gives you his word and promise that he will return on the last day, and all the cemeteries and all the burial plots will hear the voice of Jesus, the voice that cries, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And all those who were dead will rise from that death. Then your soul will reunite with your resurrected body, and you will be with God forever and ever. Until that day, as even today, his flesh is placed on your lips, making your tongue in your mouth receive his holy supper, so that loose tongues will join the unending choir singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Ephatha," in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.